Hello and welcome along to The Sweet Spot, brought to you by The Racing Post. My name's Warren Asher, standing in this week for Dave Clark, who's on a week's break. But I'm delighted to say Steve Palmer is with us once again. Steve, how are you doing?
Yeah, it's nice to see you, Wazza. Welcome back to Sweet Spot. I think Dave's at Romford Greyhounds. I noticed Romford Greyhounds has a meeting this afternoon, so I think he wanted to spend the day chewing on jelly deals and watching the grounds at Romford. So we're committed to the cause, Wazza. And we got three tournaments to preview, and we got some show some bounce back ability because there was there's a few heartbreaks on Sunday.
Yeah, definitely. We'll get to that in a moment. As Steve says, though, it's a busy old week on the golf front. Three tournaments to look forward to, including the return of LIV Golf as well. But we're going to reflect firstly on what happened last week, and we'll start off on the DP World Tour because it was a dramatic finish to the Bahrain Championship, which is won by Germany's Freddy Schott, who child sat watching the golf with me on Sunday, said he was made to play golf, Dad, with a name like that. And Freddy Schott delivered the shots when he needed to, Steve.
He's absolutely right. Yeah, I mean, if I was his playing partner, you wouldn't be able to resist going, Schotzer. he was 200 to 1 last week. I don't know whether you discussed betting with your lad. You're not supposed to. Keep him away from the betting, Wazza. He was a 200 to 1 shot, but he did have the right profile of the sort of player we were looking to back. You know, attacking powerhouses was the name of the game last week. And Freddy Schott does that. He's a very gung-ho operator. But he just didn't provide enough encouragement earlier in the season. He'd only played once. He was 49th in the Dubai Desert Classic, his only start of the year. Closed with a 74 there. And his previous crack at the Bahrain Championship, he missed the cut. So you were taking a leap of faith with Freddy Schott if you went for him. But 200 to 1, right profile. Some punters may have had him, and well done if you did.
Yeah, and he won, of course, in a playoff. It was a three-way playoff as well with Patrick Reed and Callum Hill. And you've got a feel for the Scott, really, Steve, because he seems to just implode a little bit towards the end. Maybe that pressure of getting so close to a title just got to him over the last few holes.
Well, he was hanging on for the whole weekend because he shot Friday 61, an absolutely spectacular round on Friday. He's gone well clear, but treading water over the weekend. Yeah, it looked like going wrong earlier than it did. And then he gets into the playoff. He gets through the first playoff hole. Don't forget, Patrick Reed went out of the first playoff hole. And then Callum Hill, just unfortunately on the second playoff hole, it just really got to him. He didn't want to go right. He hooked his drive left. And then the dreaded shank for the approach, shanked into the water. It's going to take Callum Hill a long time to go over that one, I think. It was pretty traumatic finish to the event. And then a very hasty handshake, wasn't it? Poor old Freddy Schott didn't even get to, putt. Freddy Schott didn't even putt on the first tournament he's ever won. He didn't even get that the chance to putt. So I felt for Freddy Schott in that regard. But great win for Freddy Schott. I think he can win again. Patrick Reed, we must discuss further because obviously big developments with him was he made it. Soon after Sweet Spot went out last week's Sweet Spot, he announced he'd quit LIV Golf. A big surprise, really. So he's fully committed to the DP World Tour for the rest of the season. I think he's going to get a PGA Tour card through the Race to Dubai rankings. He's second in that. Only Jaden Schaper's ahead of him in the Race to Dubai rankings. So we've got Patrick Reed on the DP World Tour for the rest of the season. And we've also got Daniel Hillier for the rest of the season. I don't know how you were, how you bet last week, but Daniel Hillier, he lost by a shot in the end. Yeah, this is what I'm talking about, Sunday heartbreak. Daniel Hillier fell a shot shy of the playoff.
Left himself, Steve, a little bit too much to do going into the final round, yeah?
Well, yeah, and he obviously it's a case of what might have been when it's only one shot away, and there were so many short putts he missed through the whole tournament. Every day he missed a lot of short putts. I was watching the golf with my son actually on Saturday, and Hillier three putted the ninth hole, and we both groaned enormously at the three putt on the ninth because he had a birdie putt from 5 feet and he left it short. Big lesson for young golfers to learn: balls cannot go in the hole if they're left short. Give them a chance to go in. And Daniel Hillier, very frustrating player to watch because he hit the ball like God. He's hitting the ball so well. The guys in Bahrain was saying about how his range sessions were so impressive. He's just putting on a clinic on the range, a clinic on the golf course. But we're just so unfortunate we only got the place money. He got full place money off Hillier. He was our main man last week. But I feel like it was a missed opportunity because, the putter was cold. And as I say, it was just heartbreak all day because then later in the day, after that, Luke Humphreys. I know if you were following the darts, Luke Humphreys was our darts player, the sweet spot selection for the darts. And he lost 6-5 in the final to Luke Littler. So near misses everywhere. And then even the night manager was disappointing, wasn't it? Did you settle down for that on Sunday?
No, I haven't watched it. I've recorded it, but I've not got around to watching it.
Oh, blimey.
I won't spoil it for anybody.
No, spoiler alert. But I mean, yeah, unbelievably an unhappy ending in that as well. So yeah, we've got to dust ourselves down and move on.
Well, just before we leave the event in Bahrain, just a quick other word on Patrick Reed, because, you know, he does get a lot of criticism. There's a few haters out there along the way as well, but he does tend to love the DP World Tour. And he obviously now is going to, as you said there, take it as his main tour this season to try and earn that PGA card for next year. So we're going to see a lot of Patrick Reed in Europe.
Yeah, he's always been happy to travel. He's played a lot of DP World Tour events, and you know, he doesn't mind an Asian Tour spin. You know, he's a golfaholic. You know, he just loves playing golf. He said he misses the grind. So you know, LIV Golf is a bit of a sort of party, isn't it? You know, it was three rounds, music playing. It's all fun and games. So Patrick Reed says he misses the grind, and I'm pretty convinced he'll be on the PGA Tour next season. I find it hard to imagine him slipping from second place in the DP World Tour rankings to outside the top 10. So I think he's going to get PGA Tour card. They're all coming back. We've got a LIV event this week. It's the start of the LIV season. We'll discuss the future of LIV if you want, Wazza. But yeah, the LIV guys must be a bit concerned about what's been happening.
Yeah, we'll get to LIV very shortly. But we do have to look back as well at what happened on the PGA Tour last week. And for men of a certain age in the 40s, like myself and Steve, then we certainly can celebrate what was a fantastic success for Justin Rose. Absolutely dominant in his victory, of course, at the Farmers Insurance. And, well, he said afterwards, this was for those people who are over the age of maybe 44, saying that, you know, this is what you can still do at this age.
It is inspiring, is it, Wazza? I don't know whether you're older than me or younger. I suspect you're slightly younger.
I'm slightly older. I think
slightly older. Well, we're all in our 40s, as we like to say when we're 49. but he's got plenty of lead in his pencil as Justin, isn't he? I mean, I think he's the oldest world number three in history, apart from Vijay Singh. I know Vijay Singh was another one. You know, the evergreen Vijay Singh seemed to last forever, didn't he? And Justin Rose, I mean, Justin Rose's caddy says that his best years are ahead of him. He's never looked better. I mean, we must remember that Justin Rose is a former world number one. You know, he was a world number one in his 30s. I don't think he's at that level yet. But it's easy to get carried away with recency bias. But his A game is still spectacularly good, and when he's on, he's really on, isn't he? And he took a lot of confidence from the Ryder Cup, I think, because he's become probably the most clutch putter in the Ryder Cup, isn't it? The last two Ryder Cups, some of the heroics on the greens in the last two Ryder Cups. You know, he's been inspirational for his Ryder Cup colleagues. He's inspirational for the 40-somethings like us who are concerned that we're just on a downhill spiral to the grave. Now maybe we're going to improve in our late 40s, Wazza, and Justin Rose, forget the Ryder Cup captaincy. I mean, there's a lot of chat, wasn't there, about potential Ryder Cup captain. You know, he's up to world number three. You know, he's ruled himself out of the Ryder Cup captaincy for a damn matter. We're going to want him as a player. He's still got major wins in him, I think, Wazza. I don't know how you feel on the matter.
I mean, obviously, we just got to look at the Masters last year and how close he came there, but I think the belief that he has as well, Steve, is kind of crucial on that front, because I think he goes in to the majors thinking, I can still challenge for these titles.
Absolutely. I mean, he's had one arm in the green jacket on several occasions. He's a three-time Masters runner-up. Obviously, he's won a US Open. He'd be really looking forward to the first major of the year. He's massively on the shortlist for the Masters now. And long live Justin Rose. It's not often you see an event where a 60-1 outsider dominates to that extent, is it, Wazza? I mean, we're used to it from your Scottish Schefflers, your Rory McIlroys. Justin Rose went off 60-1 last week. And, you know, kicking myself a little bit on a course that he's won the Farmers before. Three of his last four PGA Tour wins are in California. So, he's enjoying his trip to the Golden State.
Yeah, certainly is. Just a couple of others to mention as well, Steve, off the back of the Farmers. Siwoo Kim tied for second with one of your American likes, shall we say, Pearson Coody, who we've, I'm sure, been on a few times before. What did we make of those performances behind Justin Rose?
Yeah, I like both of those players. I mean, Siwoo Kim, if he can ever learn to putt again, will win loads of titles, but he's just so frustrating on the greens. But in really consistent form, he's another one that sort of turned his back on LIV Golf. You know, LIV Golf we'll discuss later, but lots of players had offers and turned them down. Siwoo's making merry on the PGA Tour, banking healthy checks every week. Pearson Coody, yeah, I'm a broken record on sweet spot. You know, I think he's clearly ready to win on the PGA Tour. You know, one of the best drivers of the ball in the game at the moment. And I think if you look at his Farmers Insurance Open form figures, it paints a picture. Miscut two. I think that two signals a coming of age for Pearson Coody. He's making his Phoenix Open debut this week, so he's not in our staking plan this week, but he's massively on the radar for the future, as is Jake Knapp, was it? We can't move on without discussing Jake Knapp. Mm. You know, a heroic start to the year. His girlfriend died suddenly in September at the age of 28. You know, to be able to get back on the PGA Tour and compete like he has been is hugely impressive fortitude, isn't it, was it? And he's made a really impressive start to 2026. So, yeah, hats off to Jake Knapp. We must do better on the PGA Tour because our tips last week, so frustrating in that. Yeah, there, no 72-hole consistency. Carl Phillips made a bright start, open with a 67. Patrick Rogers finished with a wet sail, closed with a 66. But the middle rounds were so disappointing for us. I just felt like the Farmers was a muck-spreading exercise, was it, for anyone who didn't back Justin Rose. I mean, it was so boring for anyone who didn't back Justin Rose, wasn't it? I mean, it was over, wasn't it, before the final round? And
pretty much.
Yeah.
Well, those full swing fans will also be, I'm sure, delighted to see Joel Damon's name up on the list as well, and the top 10, 15 players at the Farmers. So shout out to Joel Damon as well for getting a good check this week. Let's move on then from the PGA Tour from last week, because we've got three tournaments to look ahead to this week, of course. And Steve will be bringing his tips as well on all three of the tournaments. And we start off, as ever, in chronological order, and that will be at LIV Golf Riyadh. And Steve, you've already alluded to it a little bit earlier on. We've now gone from three rounds to four rounds in LIV Golf.
Yeah. It's all happening on LIV Golf. But the big question is, how long will it keep happening? Yeah, the LIV guys must be concerned with recent events. You know, Brooks Koepka leaving, Patrick Reed leaving. Bryson DeChambeau does not seem a happy chappy. But we'll get to the golf course. Riyadh Golf Club, Saudi Arabia, 7,464 yards, par 72, four par fives. Hosted this event for the first time last year. Adrian Meronk won under the floodlights. Key point was this tournament is played entirely under floodlights. They wait until about half an hour after sunset before they commence the tournament. You know, it's good for UK and Ireland viewers. It means it starts at 3:05 p.m. We must sound a klaxon. Yeah! Yeah! That is the Wednesday start klaxon, was it? 3:05 p.m. Wednesday. Don't like a Sunday finish in Saudi Arabia. So we're finishing Saturday. Four rounds, as you say. Some players happy about that. Other players, Bryson DeChambeau in particular, not happy about that. He wants to record his YouTube videos on the. He's got a day less to record his YouTube videos. Yeah. We'll come to Bryson DeChambeau. He's not happy about that switch. But Riyadh Golf Club, under the floodlights. We've had one edition under the floodlights, but we've also had four other Asian Tour events in natural light. The Saudi Open 2023-2024, the Saudi International 2024-2025, wide fairways. The evenings are going to be warm and calm, so it bombs away. And we've got 57 runners in LIV events this year, was there. It's another little tickle that they've made. So you've got 13 teams of four, then you've got five wild cards. Still no cut. 57 players going to bank a healthy check, whatever they do. And it's live on TNT, was it? I know you like watching your cricket on TNT and your Premier League football. Now you can watch your LIV Golf. And if you haven't got TNT, you can still get it on the LIV Golf Plus app.
Plenty of changes then in terms of LIV Golf this year to get your head around. But one thing that doesn't change, which Dave always alludes to, is the betting. Because the same players and the same names at the top of the list, John Rahm, Bryson DeChambeau, David Puig, Tyrrell Hatton, Joachim Niemann, they're all up and around the top of the betting in terms of LIV Riyadh. And we shouldn't play down as well, Steve, just how important it is to emphasise night golf. I mean, I've never played it, but I have seen the differences, you know, when you watch golf online. And it's a huge difference from playing in the daylight.
Yeah, I've never done it either. I've been to a driving range where darkness is descending. I mean, if you want to stay on the cut and prepared, you know, I did notice through watching this tournament that, you know, the light is better in the places where you're supposed to hit it. So if you stray offline, you can play in some bad conditions. The fairways are wide here. It is a bombs away track, but you don't want to be too errant.
Well, we'll talk a bit more about the future of LIV Golf in a moment, but time now to get how many selections Steve has got for LIV Golf Riyadh. How many picks here, Steve?
We've got three selections,
Three selections. And who is our main pick for the first LIV event of the year?
David Pooch. The time has come for David Pooch to win his first LIV title. We've been following this lad on Sweet Spot for many a moon. Fantastic amateur at Arizona State University. Joined LIV straight from college. Won on the Asian Tour in 2023. Won on the Asian Tour in 2024. Has managed to qualify for five majors despite being on the LIV circuit. He's kept his world ranking up impressively by performing superbly on the Asian Tour and the DP World Tour. He got full reward for that effort by winning the Australian PGA Championship at the end of November last year. So a maiden DP World Tour title. He's got cards coming out of his ears now, Wazza. He's a LIV member. He's a DP World Tour member. I think he's a future Ryder Cup star. I rate him that highly. And is there anyone in this field, Wazza, who has prepared better for this event? You know, Pooj has been active. He's got the rust out of his system. He finished third in the Dubai Invitational in his first start of the year. Then he was seventh in the Dubai Desert Classic, but he played better than that Desert Classic result suggests. He got a two-shot penalty after the final round for grounding his club in the bunker on the final hole. So he was tied third before that. He was a duel with Patrick Reed for the Desert Classic title. Nice week off last week, freshened up for the start of the LIV season. I find it so hard to see Pooj not contending for this. He was fifth in the Saudi Open on his Riyadh debut in 2024. He was sixth under the floodlights last year. The course sets up wonderfully for him. He's warmed up well on similar tracks lately. He's an Arizona man. He still lives in Arizona, so he loves his desert golf. Yeah, emphatically the main bet.
Okay, David Pooj is the main selection for Steve for LIV Riyadh. Who is pick number two, Steve?
Caleb Surratt. Another rising star. Pooj is 24. Surratt is only 21. Another college stud slipped straight into the guaranteed riches of LIV Golf. He was part of the winning LIV team last year, Legion 13. He played well in the finale to that. Surratt was third in LIV UK. Like Pooj, very active on the Asian Tour. Likes playing on the Asian Tour. In 2024, Surratt had Asian Tour form figures of 3-2-2. Only played three events. 3-2-2. His favourite Asian Tour location is emphatically Riyadh Golf Club. He lost a playoff for the 2024 Saudi International. Three-man playoff against Wakam Neiman won that. Cameron Smith was the other man in it. So Surratt, amazing debut at Riyadh Golf Club. Then he fired a second round 61, we must point out. He's the course record holder. Second round 61 in that Saudi International. Then when he returned for the same event last year, he opened with a 62, ended the week as runner-up again. Under the floodlights, LIV Riyadh did all right, tied 11th. So Surratt going to his favourite venue. Last time we saw him, he finished 8th in the Australian Open. Yeah, I think he's going to make a barnstorming start to 2026.
Yeah, maybe a new name for some of the Sweet Spot listeners, but Caleb Surratt seems to be one to keep an eye out for on the LIV Tour this year. That's two of Steve's selections then for Riyadh this week. Who are we looking at for pick number three, Steve?
Matthew Wolff, who is on offer at enormous odds, easy to back at 300-1. There aren't many names chalked up bigger than Matt Wolff this week, but I haven't forgotten how good he is. Was there? I'm sure you haven't forgotten how good he is. Won on the PGA Tour in 2019. He was world number two amateur before that. He was fourth in the 2020 US PGA. He was second in the 2020 US Open. Joined LIV in 2022, finished second in LIV Bedminster right away. He's yet to win on the LIV circuit. He's had some injury issues. He had back problems last year, had to miss a few months of last year's schedule, but he looked decent on his return. Last time we saw him, he was shooting a 6-under par round in Indianapolis. He's been working hard in the close season. I think we're going to see a comeback year for Matthew Wolff. Still a young man in relative terms. And I don't think it can be overplayed, Wazza, how much of a boost he got when Brooks Koepka rejoined the PGA Tour. You know, Brooks Koepka and Matthew Wolff hate each other. You know, I don't know whether you know about this, was it? But Brooks Koepka was the captain of Smash. Matthew Wolff was in the Smash team. Koepka bullied him. He bullied Matt Wolff, told him that he lacked effort, told him that he kept turning it in rounds. He quit on rounds. He said he was a wasted talent, questioned his work ethic. You know, Matthew Wolff's had mental health issues in the past. The last thing he needed was Brooks Koepka in his ear. So the relief that Matthew Wolff will be feeling now, Koepka's out. You know, Wolff would have been turning up at these venues, not looking forward to seeing Brooks Koepka. It's not easy to avoid the other players. So I think he's got a huge psychological boost going into this season that Brooks Koepka is a million miles away. The course is right up his alley. Suits attacking powerhouses. Matthew Wolff was sixth in the 2022 Saudi International at Royal Greens. He was 10th in the 2023 Saudi International at Royal Greens. And under the floodlights last year in Live Riyadh, he played all right, 15th place. So a field of 57 runners, you know, a real talent, disregarded by the bookmakers. You know, get as many places as you can. Well worth an each-way double.
Well, they are Steve's three picks then for Live Riyadh. We will, of course, go over all of the picks at the end of the day's show, so you can remind yourself of who Steve is selecting. We obviously are steering clear of the top two in the betting here, Steve, and John Rahm and Bryson DeChambeau. Is it just down to a fact of a lack of preparation that you can't be with them?
Yeah, I mean, John Rahm tied second in Live Riyadh last year. Yeah, one of many near misses he had last year. He didn't win last year, but he was consistent. I think the increase to 72 holes will help him. He'd be positive about that. You know, that in theory, the best players should be helped by that. But yeah, short price this week, given that we haven't seen him since October. He's basically been hibernating since October, like a grizzly bear that he is. Yeah, he's like a reproduction machine. Like I've lost count of how many kids he's had. While he was hibernating, he may have created a few more lives. He always talked about the generational wealth that joining Liv was going to create. I think he's trying to justify it by having 10,000 kids. But rusty as they come on his return, I would imagine. I no interest in John Rahm at the odds. Bryson DeChambeau, as I mentioned, is not happy on Liv. He's criticized the move to 72 holes. Lots going on in his head. He's seen Brooks Koepka go. He's seen Patrick Reed go. Bryson's contract ends at the end of this season, was it? So he's in contract negotiations now. We've mentioned on Sweet Spot that he could command $1 billion. He should be asking for $1 billion, or at least half a billion bucks. I mean, yeah, he can ask for what he wants from the Saudis. But the noises coming out of the Bryson DeChambeau camp. Sorry, it's a real tongue twister.
It's not easy to say.
I didn't get much sleep last night. And not good for the Saudis. Like he seems unhappy. I sense he's got his eye off the ball. Obviously, he's in the heartlands of Live Golf this week, Saudi Arabia. He's going to be talking to lots of people. You know, I think his eye is off the ball massively.
And that would be the big concern for Live, Bryson DeChambeau, because losing Brooks Koepka as a multiple major champion is a big blow to the tour. Losing Patrick Reed as well, bearing in mind that, you know, he was still challenging for titles and he's shown already on the DP World Tour that he can challenge still for titles at the sort of, I suppose, the latter stages of his career. You know, you've got DeChambeau and Rahm are the two prized assets now, and losing one of those two will be a huge blow.
And losing Patrick Reed so late. I mean, we have no idea who is in the Four Aces team this week. They've got three of their four members are confirmed. Patrick Reed was a Four Ace. He's gone. And if you go on the Live website there, they're to be announced. The tournament starts on Wednesday and we haven't got a complete Four Aces side. I mean, it is shambolic. It remains to be seen who's representing the Four Aces in Saudi Arabia this week. But Live Golf is in crisis. Whether it can last forever, who knows? It may last forever just as a low grade product, I suspect.
Yeah, well, we'll see how the golf pans out this week, of course. Three selections, as you say, from Stephen. We'll remind you of those at the end of the show. We're going to turn our attentions now to the DP World Tour, because we're going to make the relatively short hop from Riyadh to Qatar for the Qatar Masters. Hao Tong Lee was the winner of this event last year. Since then, of course, Steve, he's gone on to gain his PGA Tour card, so we won't have the defending champion in the field this week. But what can the players who are turning up expect from the Qatar Masters track?
Yes, Doha Golf Club, 7,508 yards, par 72, four par fives. It staged every Qatar Masters until 2020. Then we had 2 years at Education City Golf Club. Doha resumed hosting duties in 2022. That was a really windy event. It produced the worst winning total in the tournament's history, only seven under par. The 2023 edition was in late October, a very unusual spot on the schedule. So I'd say 2022 and 2023, that form counts for less than the other years. We've only got one breezy day this week, the first round, then three calm days where Doha will be there for the taking. So I think strong ball strikers are going to dominate. Field of 144 going to post. Place your bets by around 3 a.m. on Thursday morning.
Okay, and as far as the betting is concerned, we have Daniel Hillier and Jaden Schaper battling it out for favouritism. The likes of Patrick Reed, Angel Ayora, Matt Wallace and Oliver Lindell towards the top of the betting as well. How many selections then here, Steve, for yourself for the Qatar Masters?
Three.
Another three, a triple header again, this time in Qatar. And who is our main pick?
Daniel Hillier, keeping the faith, hit the ball so well last week, clearly in full control of his game, dazzling range sessions, imperious driving on the golf course, one of the best young talents on the DP World Tour, made for these long desert layouts. He was runner-up to Tyrrell Hatton in the Dubai Desert Classic last year, fifth in the Abu Dhabi Championship last year, 16th in the DP World Tour Championship in Dubai at the end of last year, runner-up in the Dubai Invitational at the start of this year, fourth on Sunday in Bahrain. All we need is some putting improvement, and he's the man to beat in Qatar. A 27-year-old at the peak of his powers, fit as a fiddle, so I've got no concern about a fourth week on the spin. I think he's got one more big week left in him before he has a rest. And Qatar Masters form figures of 16, 42, 25. Steady. I think he improves massively on this week. So a second DP World Tour title for Daniel Hillier.
Yeah, and I also think when a player finishes a tournament as strong as he did on Sunday, he takes that confidence and that form into the following week, then you've obviously got to stand up and take notice. And Daniel Hillier is once again on the list for Steve this week. So that's pick one for the Qatar Masters. Who is our second choice here, Steve?
Oliver Lindell, another 27-year-old, a Finn. He settled nicely on the DP World Tour. He's been looking like a winner, waiting to happen for a while now. He won three times on the Nordic Golf League as a youngster. Then he became a regular contender on the Challenge Tour. Stepped up a level from May onwards in 2024. Just started contending every week on the Challenge Tour. Finally won promotion to the DP World Tour. So he was a rookie last season, and it was a hugely productive rookie campaign. He had 11 top 20s, four top 10s. He was 14th in the Qatar Masters at Doha. That was his debut at Doha. Solid effort. He'd missed the cut the previous week in Bahrain. This time, 15th place in the Dubai Invitational, 26th in the Desert Classic, 9th last week in Bahrain, despite suffering a snowman in round one, He carded an 8 at the 14th hole. Real showstopper. Did well to get a top 10 finish from there. He carded four under par rounds, made 22 birdies. He was third for greens in regulation in round one, first for greens in regulation in round three. This is a strong all-rounder, just looks primed for Qatar. So, yeah, I think he'll threaten a DP World Tour breakthrough this week.
I think this is possibly why I like the DP World Tour as much as I do, with the different nationalities and the different styles of golfer on the different tests of golf courses as well. It just is fascinating to watch. So we've had a New Zealander and a Finn on the list of the three selections for the Qatar Masters. Who is pick, Steve, number three?
We got a Frenchman now, We were discussing who our favourite Frenchman was last week.
Yes, I saw that, yes.
Yeah, you have a little think about that while I put forward this Frenchman. It's Hugo Casal, who loves desert golf. He was runner-up in the UAE Challenge on the Challenge Tour in 2023, runner-up in the Qatar Masters at Doha in 2024. He was beaten by just a shot. He was sixth in the Abu Dhabi Championship in 2024. And last week in Bahrain, back at it again in the desert. Rounds of 67, 68, 71, 67, finished sixth. He's won on the Alps Tour. He's won on the Challenge Tour. He's still only 33. I'm keeping the faith with Hugo Casal. He's a sweet spot regular, he? We haven't won with him yet. He's broken my heart many times. Valentine's Day is coming up soon. I'm going to take him on one last date.
Yes, come on, don't let us down, Hugo. I was looking at his record, actually, of like really, really good, and obviously in this tournament as well. So Hugo Cassau would definitely be on my list. Best favourite Frenchman, I think Zinedine Zidane's got to be up there for me.
Yeah.
I think he just oozes class, doesn't he?
Yes, I like that one, I love Zinedine. And I noticed a commentator popped in Inspector Clouseau last week. that's a good shout as well. So, we'll keep working on our favourite Frenchman.
Yeah, it always throws me when somebody says you can't pick a sportsman, and then I'm like trying to think of anybody else that I might be able to select from there. But three selections then again for the Qatar Masters this week. Steve's picks in a moment. Anybody else who was quite close to getting the pick, Steve, that might have been on the shortlist?
The closest to being selected out other than those three was Angel Ayora. We're massive fans of Angel Ayora. Last name off the shortlist. Missed the cut last week by a shot, but he had a poor record on that track. He missed the cut by a mile the previous year. Last year, he finished 14th in the Qatar Masters at Doha. So he bounced back from a big miscut last year in Bahrain to do well in Doha. But the bookies haven't reacted to last week's miscut as I hope they would. You know, he's still a very short price. He's a very young maiden. So no value on offer, I'm afraid. So we're all eggs in the Daniel Hillier basket at the top of the betting there. Patrick Reed, I mean, you know, Patrick Reed is just going to post again. You know, fourth week on the spin. Bear in mind, he's had heavy live negotiations amid that near miss on Sunday. He'd be disappointed with how he played in that playoff. So it's course debut. Course debut was it? He hasn't had much time to get over that. That drama on Sunday, and then prepare for a course he doesn't know. Jaden Schaper, just before we move on, better suited to this week than he was for Bahrain. But I was a bit alarmed by that Sunday 76. He shot 76 in Bahrain, tailed off, you know, looked like he ran out of gas. It's been a very hectic schedule for Jaden Schaper lately. I think he needs a rest.
One thing that I noticed in Bahrain last week, Steve, is quite a lot of Scots on the leaderboard at one stage. It seems to be a good bunch of Scottish players at the moment on the DP World Tour making an impact, likes of Ewan Ferguson, likes of Callum Hill. There seems to be, and I wonder whether that comes off the back of Robert McIntyre, you know, making some real headway, and that just kind of has a follow-on knock-on effect.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Wadsy. Yeah, the Scots like a bar, don't they? They like a bar. They like reigning over a bar. Maybe they like Bahrain, but the Scots are well represented on the DP World Tour, but hopefully Bobby McIntyre come back and play a few more DP World Tour events. Obviously he's got bigger fish to fry these days.
On the PGA Tour, of course, when we're looking to the PGA Tour now, because across the Atlantic we have the Phoenix Open to look forward to, always outside of the majors, one of the big PGA Tour events of the season, especially at this early stage of the campaign as well. Steve, tell us a bit about the course first before we get your selections.
Yeah, the stadium course, TPC Scottsdale, Arizona, 7,261 yards, par 71, three par fives. It's hosted since 1987. Yeah, the spectators are raucous, they're noisy, they're well up for it. We get around 200,000 spectators on Friday and Saturday. I think you get around 700,000 over the course of the week. And obviously Super Bowl Sunday. I don't know what your feelings are on Gridiron. Was you like your Gridiron fan?
I do like my Gridiron, yes.
Oh, you like your Gridiron. So you're excited about Super Bowl Sunday. They try and get the final round of the Phoenix Open finished before the Super Bowl. So it's a massive sports day for America. And we got great weather for it as well. We've got sunny, warm weather coming in Phoenix, light breezes throughout. The recipe for success has always been churn out greens in regulation, hole a few putts. You handle your nerves in front of these intimidating galleries. A field of 120 going to post, and the action starts about 2 p.m. on Thursday, UK time.
Before we get into your selection, Steve, I want to know your thoughts on the par three, where we have what is pretty much a huge stand where fans get very raucous, shall we say. Cans of beer being thrown everywhere. And there's been a few suggestions over the last couple of years by, let's say, maybe more the elder generation that maybe it's going a bit too far. But then others say it's a fantastic sort of spectacle. The players don't seem to mind too much. I don't see too many complaints from them.
Well, you mentioned the older generation. I know Zach Johnson was involved in an unsavoury altercation some spectators. I don't think Zach Johnson's a fan of the conduct. I mean, it obviously does go a bit far, but then, the likes of Joel Damon, whipping his shirt off and running around the green. Some players relish that sort of environment, and some players don't. I think it's fine to have this tournament as chaotic as it is for just one event of the year. Yeah, if every week on the PGA Tour there were fans vomiting on the sidelines and passing out and all other disappointing conduct, then that would be a bit much. But one week of the year, one week only. Let them let their hair down. If Joel Damon wants to show us his tits, let him. Don't fine him.
I'm not sure that's going to make the edit, I'll be honest.
If Joel Damon wants to show us his mammary glands, that's what I should have said. Then so be it. One week of the year we can handle it. The 16th hole is not my favourite, was it? I actually like the 17th hole, the drivable par 4. I think the 17th hole is one of the most gripping holes on the PGA Tour. The 16th hole gets all the attention, the booing and whatnot. But the 17th is spectacular. So fun week. Can't wait.
Yeah, and we have got a stellar field as well for the Phoenix Open. Looking at the top of the betting, Scotty Scheffler not surprisingly leads the way. Xander Schauffele returns to the PGA Tour action as well. Cameron Young, Hideki Matsuyama, Siwoo Kim, and Ben Griffin up near the top of the betting as well. How many selections then, Steve, for the Phoenix Open?
Four right!
So we've had a klaxon and a four right already on today's sweet spot. Four selections overall for Steve, and everybody waiting with bated breath as to who the main pick is for the Phoenix Open.
Well, we need four to give us a chance of getting Scotty Scheffler beat. Scotty Scheffler's not in our staking plan. We'll discuss him at the end. We're going for the each way money. We're going for the place money. Yeah, Scotty Scheffler might have an off week. As I say, we'll discuss him later. But the number one selection is Cameron Young, who I think is set for a fantastic 2026. The second half of 2025 was Roy of the Rovers stuff from Cameron Young. He bounced back to form with fourth place in the Canadian Open. Then he was fourth in the US Open. Then he won his maiden PGA Tour title in the Wyndham Championship. A six-shot romp. We're all waiting for him to lose this tag of the best player never to have won on the PGA Tour. To win by six shots, he was so impressive in the Wyndham. Then he was excellent in the FedEx Cup playoffs, 5-11-4. Then he was ninth in the Pro Core Championship before a brilliant Ryder Cup. I mean, the Ryder Cup performance was, it took him up a level, certainly in terms of self-belief. Yeah, not many Americans emerged from that Ryder Cup with credit, but Young was the star of his team, making his Ryder Cup debut in his home state of New York. Captain's pick, maximum pressure, benched for the first session to add to his nerves. Then he came out on the Friday afternoon four balls and was brilliant alongside Justin Thomas. They thrashed Ludvig Aubert and Rasmus Højgaard 6-5. Then he teamed up with Bryson DeChambeau in the morning foursomes on Saturday, beat Aubert and Matt Fitzpatrick 4-2. Rory McIlroy and Shane Lowry were too strong in the afternoon four balls on Saturday. But then in the singles, Cameron Young in the singles, Justin Rose up against him. We mentioned Justin Rose's Ryder Cup pedigree, the ultimate warrior these days. Young birdied the final hole of their match to win one up. He was the first match out on the Sunday, inspired America's comeback. I do not think America would have got close to that. It looked like America were going to win it at one stage. I don't think that comeback would have happened unless Cameron Young had won that first match. Young was the inspiration for the Americans. So, self-belief through the roof. He was rusty when he finished 10th in the Hero World Challenge. He was rusty when he finished 22nd in the Farmers Insurance Open last week, but he closed with a 68 at Torrey Pines. A course that he struggled with in the past. His Torrey Pines record is poor. 22nd place last week after a break. It was a real positive. He's got the rust out of his system. Now he comes to a Phoenix Open venue that he knows and can handle. Driver is the club for most players on every tee. You wouldn't see many courses where driver comes out as often as it does at TPC Scottsdale. They all reach for the driver. Cameron Young, a phenomenally good driver. He can overwhelm this course. He's finished 8th and 12th in this event the last 2 years. He was 16 under par for his final three rounds last year. So got off to a bad start. Come roaring back. This time he arrives as a PGA Tour champion for the first time. I think it's the biggest danger to Scotty Scheffler. I think he should be second favourite.
Cameron Young showed that he could deal with the intense atmosphere at a Ryder Cup, and I'm sure the raucous atmosphere in Phoenix is not going to faze him at all. He is the main pick for Steve for the Phoenix Open this week. Three more to come. Who's pick number two, Steve?
Sam Burns, who only lost one of his three matches in the Ryder Cup, and that was on the 18th green. We know how good a putter Sam Burns is. He's one of the best on the PGA Tour, but the rest of his game is effective too. I think he's a really underrated driver of the ball. He's got the game to make merry at TPC Scottsdale. He was sixth in 2023, third in 2024. It's worth remembering that the 2023 event was a signature event. All the best players in the world were in attendance, £20 million in the pot. Scheffler won that event. Burns was sixth. Burns, best mates with Scheffler, not scared of Scheffler. He's beaten Scheffler in a Colonial playoff. He's beaten Scheffler in the semifinals of the WGC match play. I like the chances of Burns if he ends up on a leaderboard with Scheffler on Sunday. Burns lost the playoff last year for the Canadian Open. He was an unlucky seventh in the US Open, had some rules problems. He played great in the FedEx Cup playoffs and 27th place on his return last week in the Amex. It was a tidy start to 2026. So, yeah, Young and Burns are going to give Scheffler most to think about this week, I feel.
Okay, interesting. Two selections to start off with for Steve. I'm assuming, Steve, that the prices are going to get a bit bigger for the remaining two. Who is pick number three?
Kurt Kitayama, who was a hero for us in the 3M Open last summer. He fired a third round 60, second PGA Tour title came the following day. He loves teeing up in the desert. He went to college in Las Vegas. He won on the DP World Tour in Oman. Phoenix Open form figures of 23.849. His game is ideally suited to TPC Scottsdale. I think his 2026 campaign burst into life. It's been a slow, steady start to the year. Open with 40th place in the Sony Open. Missed the three-round cut by a shot in the Amex. Improved his score each day, though, 71, 69, 66. This week's assignment, all about pounding greens and regulation. That's Kitayama's game. If he holds his fair share, putting is the bugbear of Kitayama. If he holds a few putts, I think he'd go close to a third PGA Tour title.
And he's available at around about 65, 70 to 1 in the betting at the moment. So Kurt Kitayama is the third of four selections from Steve for the Phoenix Open. And finally, Steve, the fourth and final selection for potential Arizona success this week. Who are we looking at?
Matt McCarty, another player who relishes desert golf. He was born in Scottsdale. This is a home game for him. He still lives in Scottsdale. His comfort in the desert was shown to great effect in the 2024 Black Desert Championship. That was his maiden PGA Tour title. We were on in that week at juicy prices, a three-shot victory. That was at the Black Desert Resort. Big similarities between that venue and TPC Scottsdale, both courses designed by Tom Weisskopf. McCarty won three times on the Korn Ferry Tour in 2024 prior to that Black Desert triumph. Then he had a form dip. Started last year in poor nick, missed the cut on his Phoenix Open debut. It wasn't until the spring that he started playing like the real Matt McCarty again. Finished 14th on his Masters debut. He was fourth in the Canadian Open, eighth in the Wyndham. Closed with a 60 in the Baycurrent Classic. He was third in his Black Desert title defense. Then he finished the year with eighth place in the Australian Open. So, brilliant end to 2025. And he started 2026 really strongly. Tied second behind Scheffler in the Amex last month, 18th last week at Torrey Pines on Sunday. And compare the start of 2025 to the start of 2026. Last year, missed the cut in the Amex, missed the cut at Torrey Pines, missed the cut in the Phoenix Open. This year, played well in the first two. He's not going to miss the cut again in the Phoenix Open. He's playing really well. He got engaged just before Christmas. Him and Maddie are loving life, was a I just don't think he's getting enough respect, Matt McCarty. I love Matt McCarty, and the bookmakers are not respecting him.
No, because you can get three figures still on Matt McCarty to win the Phoenix Open this week. So they are Steve's four picks, and we have to start when we look at elsewhere with Scottie Scheffler. He is around about 23 to 10, I think, at the moment in the betting, Steve, to go on and claim yet another title. Is it just literally because of, the prices and looking for better each way value that you steer clear of him?
just because I'm going to win more if I get a place from my four than if I pile into Scheffler. I mean, he was 3-1 for the Amex. As you say, he's shorter for this. I mean, I remember backing him for this. This was his first victory in 2022. I got 33-1. And he's, you're never going to get that again until he's sort of in his 50s. We might get it when he's 55 or something. Yeah. But yeah, it took him a long time to get that first win. And he hasn't stopped since. His win rate, I mean, the mathematicians will have their calculators out. And he's won 17 of his last 39 events. So that's a 43% strike rate in that period. So from the start of the 2024 Arnold Palmer Invitational, he's won 43% of his tournaments. Yeah, there's three majors in that run. Most of those wins are in better company than this. It's not a bad tournament this week, but it's not fantastically deep field. So yeah, I'm trying to get him beat. Clinging on to the fact that he can have a bad putting week. Even Scotty Scheffler can have a bad putting week. Clinging on to the hope that the crowd could unsettle him. You know, obviously he's the headline act. Maybe if the lager, the Bud Lights if they have one too many Bud Lights, someone might say something to upset Scotty Scheffler. I'm not encouraging bad behavior. There's more potential in this tournament for the crowd to unsettle you than others.
Yeah.
I think our hope really is that the putter goes cold. He hasn't won the last two Phoenix Opens. This is when you start clutching at straws.
There is some hope there.
He finished 25th. Finished 25th last year, third the previous year. Doesn't win every event he plays. But, I mean, his record in this event is fantastic. Yeah, this is one of the courses that sets up better for him than most. We'll roll the dice and try and get some place money.
And your mate Xander is in the field as well. Am I right in thinking, Steve, this is his first tournament of the year? I wasn't sure whether I'd seen him play already this year.
Easy mistake to make because he only lasted two rounds last week at Torrey Pines, missed the cut. Right. So and he would have been really disappointed with that because he was rusty as anything. He took a lot of time off over Christmas, first Christmas as a father. And he could have done with the reps last week. The fact he didn't play four rounds last week has put me right off him for this week. He's got a strong Phoenix Open record, but no, I prefer Cameron Young to Xander Schauffele and Siwoo Kim. I mean, we've already mentioned Siwoo Kim, just, consistently appearing on leaderboards, but difficult to trust on the greens. I don't think there's enough in his price because I find it hard to envision him winning this golf tournament. But
Just looking down at some of the sort of 40 and 50 to one shots. I mean, you've got Matt Fitzpatrick, Ricky Fowler, Colin Morikawa, and Brooks Koepka, and Sahith Theegala all around that sort of mark. Now, granted, Schauffele and Scheffler are in the field, so it does obviously kind of maybe sort of move those odds out a little bit more than they would ordinarily. But a big price for those sort of players.
I think Koepka will play better this week, or I think last week was a real mental test for him. He wasn't sure what the reception he was going to get off the galleries. Yeah. They were kind to him. I didn't see many barbed comments towards Koepka last week. I think he would have been pleased to get that event out of the way. He spoke about how he was keen to get through that tournament, and he made the cut on the mark. He just squeezed through, and he putted really, really badly. He didn't hit the ball bad last week, but his putting was abysmal. I think he'll prefer the greens this week. I think Koepka will play much better this week, and perhaps a top 20 from Koepka. But I like my four, and we'll just be praying that Scheffler has a bad week with a putter, and then my four will be ready to pounce.
Okay, well, that is the Phoenix Open covered then for this week. One that I'm sure many of our sweet spot regulars look forward to. It's another cracking event on the PGA Tour. We have concluded the run through of all three of the tournaments this week. And it seems about right now that we go over Steve's selections for all of the three tournaments. Starting off, Steve, with the three picks for Live Riyadh.
David Puig, Caleb Surratt, Matthew Wolff.
That's not the klaxon. That's just to emphasise Matthew Wolff, by the way. But just a reminder.
Tip him a lot. Yeah, well, that's not the klaxon.
Is Wednesday to Saturday, isn't it? Just to confirm.
Yeah. Good point well made. Was a Wednesday to Saturday. Get your bets on by 3:05 p.m. if you're a UK and Ireland soul. because they start under the floodlights. It's very confusing for the punting community because ordinarily an event in Saudi Arabia would start earlier than that, but you've got till 3:05 p.m. Wednesday.
Okay, well, that is Live Riyadh ticked off then. Up next, it is the Qatar Masters. Three more picks here, Steve. Just remind us who they are.
Daniel Hillier, Oliver Lindl, Hugo Cassard.
And last but not least, the Phoenix Open. Four right was the shout. What are the four, Steve?
Cameron Young, Samuel Burns, Kurt Kitayama, and Matt McCarty.
That is the sweet spot done in terms of tips for another week. Have you got anything planned this week, Steve? Anything to look forward to?
Well, it's full focus on the three golf tournaments. I'm not really interested in the Premier League darts. We've got the start of the Premier League darts season this week, but I find it hard to get enthused about the Premier League. They're short matches and anything can happen, really. So, full focus on golf and family peace, was it? They're my two desires. Yeah. Golf winners and family peace. I know you're a big family man. January is the most miserable month of the year, isn't it?
It's just the longest time of the year, isn't it? It just went on forever. I mean, I now when you get to February, you think, actually, do you know what? You can almost sense the Masters and spring is around the corner.
Yeah, and there's a bit more light around, isn't there? I mean, I suffer badly when it's just always dark. And it must have rained every single day in January. Yeah. February, the mornings are getting a bit brighter, that it stays lighter for longer. So, yeah, there's hope in our hearts. And when we have the each-way treble this week of David Puig, Daniel Hillier, Cameron Young, have an each-way treble, get as many places as you can, then the hope in our hearts will be you're bountiful.
And Justin Rose has made me and Steve feel like we're, young boys again, looking forward to playing golf over the summer.
It's only just begun, was it? So it's only just begun. Okay.
Well, before Steve breaks into another song, we should just remind you that Dave will be back next week with Steve for the sweet spot. And we've got some cracking events to look forward to, including the Pebble Beach Pro-Am and the Adelaide Individual on the Live Golf Tour. So plenty to look forward to next week when the celebs join the golfing stars at Pebble Beach. But In fairness, this week we've got plenty to look forward to, of course, as well with these three events that we've looked ahead to. Thanks very much for Steve for his efforts as ever. Thanks to you for watching. Make sure, of course, that you like, subscribe and comment on the Racing Post YouTube channel. For the time being, enjoy your golf this week and please remember to gamble responsibly.